Today's shiur is Masechta B'Metzia Daf Chav Beis, and we will begin on Daf Chav Aleph Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, we had discussed the machlokes of Abaye and Rava regarding Yish Shleimidas. We know in order for a lost object to become the finders of that lost object, there has to be Yish. The owner has to be Miyash from finding that object. And the Gemara discussed the machlokes of Abaye and Rava, where we have a situation where somebody lost something, but he isn't aware that this item is lost. When he will become aware of that, he will be certainly miyash. Is that already considered a situation of yush or not? Rava's opinion was that it's considered a situation of yush. Abaye's opinion was that it isn't considered a situation of yush. And the Gemara in our previous shiur and continues into our shiur today quotes Mishnayis and Brises that come to prove or disprove the opinions of Abaye and Rava. So the Gemara wants to bring a proof to Rava's opinion from the following Brisa. Toshma, Haganav Shenotel Mizev Nosan Ozeh. If Haganav took an object from one and gave it to another person, V'chenganav Shenotel Mizev Nosan Ozeh. And same thing by Gazlan. And as we discussed at great length in Masecht Bava Kama, the difference between a ganav and a gazlan is that a ganav steals surreptitiously, steals in the where people aren't aware that he's stealing, and a gazlan steals in the open. Continues the Brayse of Chen Yardain. Similarly, where the Yardain shenosim mezel notel mezel, that the river took, flooded and took an object from one and put it in somebody else's property. There is Yerushalmi that seems to learn that what the Brisa speaks about the Yardin taking from one and giving to the other, actually the Yerushalmi wants to say is referring to expanding or changing the borders of Eretz Yisrael, given that the Yardin is the border of Eretz Yisrael. But again, we will learn the Brisa in the simple way. Shenotel mizev nosan lezeh, the Yardin took from one and brought to the other. And the halacha is mashenotel notal mashenosan nosan. What it took, and what it gave, it gave. Says the Gemara, bishlam a gazlan, in the situation where it was taken by a gazlan, or the situation of the yardin. So we, as we said earlier, the definition of a gazlan is someone who steals in the open. So the owner of the item is well aware that its object has been stolen, and therefore the kachozi le'umiyash, he certainly sees what's happening, and therefore there's a situation of yush, and therefore the person who now has the item is considered the owner. El aganav, asked the Rambam, in the case of aganav, mikachozi le'umiyash, as we explained earlier, the definition of aganav is somebody who steals surreptitiously. So the owner is not aware that the item was stolen. So obviously, if he's not aware that it was stolen, we don't have any yush. Yet, the Brisa teaches us that it becomes the property of the person in whose property this item was deposited, even though there was only a yush shleimidas. The owner isn't really aware that it was stolen. Answers the Gemara. The Rabbi will explain Tergum Rapapa that the Brice is referring to a situation of a list of mezuyin. It's an armed robber. So the owner is therefore immediately aware of the loss of his object and his miyash. Ask the Gemari, Hacha Ein a Gazlan. If so, that's the same thing as a Gazlan. Because in both situations, he's aware that the item has been stolen. Why does the Braisa have to teach us two different cases of the same halacha? Answers the Gemara, Trei Gavni Gazlan. The Braisa is teaching us two different situations. The Ganif, who steals with list of mezuyin, is less confident than the one who steals openly. The proof being that he needs to take weapons. He's scared. And therefore, maybe he should not be considered a full-fledged Goslin, where the owner is Miyash. Because we see that he's scared. He's not confident. Teaches us the Braisa, that he's still considered a listen, that he's still considered a Goslin, and the owner is Miyash. So then the question obviously is, if a listen Mezuyin is considered a Goslin, then certainly the other Goslin is considered a Goslin. So why do we have to say the other case? So the answer that the Mefarshim say is, he comes with weapons. And because he comes with weapons, maybe that's why the owner is quicker to be Miyash. Tashma. So Gemara speaks about another case. Short of Nohor, if a river flooded and washed away Kairav, Eitz of Avonov, his beams, his wood, or his stones, V'nosna B'toich Steish Chaveroi, and it deposited these items in someone else's field, Harei Shaloi, they become the property of the person whose field they were deposited in. Neshnes Yashu Abalim, because we're certain that the owner has been Miyash. But what is, says the Gemara, what is the Braisa saying? Tama the Nishyash or Balim. Specifically, because the owner of Miyash, that's why it becomes the other person's property. Hostama, if we're not aware that he was Miyash, then the halacha would be Loi. It doesn't become the other person's. So from here we see that we have to have an explicit Iyush. As to Rishonim, we learned in our previous year, and we will discuss this subject more, Mitzvah Shem, that if something was flooded, we learned Zuta Shel Yom, Shalalua Shel Nahar, that the halach is that automatically is no longer mine. So here, if these items were taken away by a flood, so it has nothing to do with the subject of Yush. That's why it should no longer be the owner's. So Rishonim explained that even though there was a flood in this case that the Bryce is referring to, it's not the same type of flood as we discussed in the previous year. Here it's referring to a situation that after the water recedes, the item will be still where it was originally. And therefore, it's not considered avuda mimenu mikol adam, that we said in the previous year is the status it has to achieve that it should no longer be considered my item. So the question here is, why do we have to have Yish Midas? According to Rava, even Yish Loi Midas ought to be adequate. Answers the Gemara, Hachav Ma'eskin K'shiyach L'Hatzel, where the item is salvageable, and since it's salvageable, he certainly wasn't Miyash. Ask the Gemara, E Hachi, if that's the way we are understanding the Braisa, Eima Sefer, let's continue learning the Braisa. If we see that the owners are still running after this item, then the halacha is chayv lahachzer. The finder has to return it. Now, asked the Gemara, if we explain that this braisa is referring to a situation b'cholim lahatzel, then ma'irim ratfim. Why do we have to have a situation where the owner is chasing after the item? I feel emirat finami. Even if he's not chasing after the item, since the item is salvageable, we have said that whenever the item is salvageable, the owner is not miyash. And if the owner is not miyash, then obviously the item does not become the finder's. Answers the Gemara. Hachem ma'iskinen. The way to understand the braisa is v'yicharim lahatz l'idei etchak. It is salvageable, but it's only salvageable with difficulty. Miratfim, so if we see that the owner is chasing after the item, it's a clear indication the loy iyash, that the owner wasn't miyash, and therefore the finder may not keep it. A miratfim, but we don't see them running after the item, and it's difficult to save, so it's a proof that a Yush Miyash, that the owner was Miyash, and therefore the finder may keep it. Tashma. So the Gemara attempts to bring a proof to Rava's position from the following braisa. Ketzer Amru. When did Chazal say, Hatoyim Shlomidas, if somebody takes Truma from somebody's else's, somebody takes truma from somebody's produce without the knowledge of the owner of that produce, the halacha is trumasa truma, that the truma is considered a valid truma. Says the Gemara, it's referring to a situation, if I went into somebody else's field, and I took truma without the permission of the owner, if the owner is objecting and saying that I am a gazlin, then the halacha is ein trumasa truma, then the truma is not considered a valid truma. Vimlav, but if the owner is not objecting, then the halacha is trumasa truma. The truma is a truma. Machloikus Rishonim, what will be the halacha if the owner doesn't say anything? He doesn't object and he doesn't consent. The Ritva says that if he remains silent, it's a proof that he's satisfied. The Ramban says that if he remains silent, it is not a proof that he's satisfied. Ask the Gemara. Continues the Braxa. How do we know that the owner is objecting or not, or he's satisfied? If he's upset or not, if the owner came and found that I had separated truma, and he tells me, go to nicer produce, if indeed better produce was found, that's a proof that he's satisfied truma say truma. But if we don't find any better produce in the owner's stock, then the halacha is ain't trumasa truma. Then the truma is not considered a valid hafrosh's truma. Liktu habaylim, if the owner took more produce, v'sifaleim, and they added it to the truma that I already took, that is raya, the benkach or benkach, trumasa truma, that what he satisfied what I did, and my hafrosh's truma is a valid hafrosh's truma. The Meiri asks that the halacha is that if truma is separated from produce, once truma is separated from produce, if the owner wants to separate more truma, he can't take it again. So ask the Meiri, why does the Braisa suggest that if the owner took truma again, it's a proof that he's satisfied with what I did, he can't take truma once truma has been taken from produce. So the Meiri says what the Gemara means to say is that what the Shliach did is satisfactory, but the Baal Bayis is taking truma, la halacha will not be a valid hafrosh's truma. The Ritva gives a different answer. The Ritva says that when is there a halacha that once somebody takes truma, the halacha is the truma is you can't take truma again, is if I, the owner of a produce, take truma, you only get a chance one time. But if you take truma, but if I, the shliach, especially in the case of Al Gemara, where he wasn't even an appointed shliach, then takes truma, and then the owner says, you didn't take enough, I want to add truma, then the halacha will be that his second hafrosha will be valid to add to the truma that already exists. Ask the Gemara, v'chinimtzi yofes mehen trumasa truma, why is the halacha that if we see that he meant that he satisfied with what I did, my hafrosha, the hafrosha of the shliach's truma is a valid hafrosha, amai bidden the taram, at the time that I took the truma, halayaviyada, the owner wasn't aware that I'm doing this. So this should be like a situation of a year shleimadas. It only comes later, the knowledge and the consent of the owner. And therefore, why is the act that took place prior to his knowledge and consent considered valid? So if we follow, says the Gemara, the opinion of Rava, that year shleimadas have a yeush, so since that consent is ultimately going to come, it's considered a valid consent. But here, it's not yet, that's what happened here. So it's a proof to Rava and a question to Abaya. So the Mefarshim ask, How is this a proof even to Rava? In Rava's situation, it was a situation of Yiyush, that he moves away from the product. Here we're talking about that it should be considered a valid act, which takes a lot more to be effective. And so how do we compare the two situations? So I saw that the Rishonim answer that since every pile of produce is obligated to take truma from it, so that's already considered as if it's already sort of, so to speak, on the way there, and therefore it's similar to the situation of Yiyush Lomidas. The Achronim also ask that the halacha is that to take truma, we have to have a minui. We have to appoint somebody to take truma. So how can my taking truma, even though the owner ultimately becomes aware of what I did and is satisfied what I did, but there's no minui shlichus? So Rav Shmuel Rizovsky learns the Gemara, that the Gemara at least at this point holds that minui shlichus is not required for truma to be considered a valid hafrosha. That's how Rav Shmuel Rizovsky learns Pshat in the Gemara. Others say that the Gemara at this point feels that even if you have to be a shliach to be able to take truma from somebody else's, it doesn't require full-fledged minui. As long as he's satisfied with what I did, that's enough. The Mefarshim, the Rishonim, point out that our Gemara is referring to a situation where I took truma from somebody else's produce without his knowledge and consent. But what would be the halacha if I took truma from my produce on behalf of someone else? There the halacha would be that it's certainly satisfactory, it's certainly considered a valid hafrosha's truma. And the Achronim explain, we could use the concept of zochen l'adam shloi b'fonov. But where do we say Zochen Shlai Adam L'Shlai B'Fonav? When I take, says the Tzois, something that belongs to me, and I use it for somebody else, there we apply the concept of Zochen Adam L'Shlai B'Fonav. But to take somebody else's item and use it on his behalf, there we can't apply the concept of Zochen Adam L'Shlai B'Fonav. And as the Chazanish explains, the reason is because It's not a schus to use his item. Maybe he wanted to take the truma by himself. Or other achronim want to explain. The Birkas Shmuel wants to explain, as we're going to learn in a moment, that in order to be able to take off truma from someone else's item on his behalf, I have to have a minui shlichus. Here, however, if I'm using my own item, there is no need to have full-fledged shlichus. Says the Gemara, Tergma Rava Aliva Dabaya. How are we going to explain this brisa where I could take truma even without the knowledge and consent, and it should be effective in a situation of Shav Yishliach? This brisa is referring to a situation where this person was already appointed a shliach. And says the Gemara, Hachanam Mistabra. That makes sense to explain that's what happened here. Disal Kedatach, the Loi Shav Yishliach. If we're going to explain that he wasn't appointed shliach, the question is, miyave truma sa truma, can what he did be considered an effective hafroshes truma? Vare atem gam atem amrachmana. The Torah uses the word gam atem to teach us l'rabbe shluchachem, that a shliach can take truma on behalf of the owner. However, the Torah compares the shliach to the owner himself. Ma atem v'datchem, hafroshes truma obviously requires the knowledge of the owner for it to be effective. Af shluchachem v'datchem, we have to have that the shliach was done with the knowledge of the owner. So if he was appointed, so what is the Bryce discussing? Asked the Gemara. Al hachem ma'iskinen could go into shavi shliach. He was appointed a shliach. V'amle zil troim, and he told him separate truma. V'loy amale troim mahani. But he didn't tell him specifically from where to take the truma. V'stam the balabais and an owner ki troim b'beinin is a troim. He usually takes off from the average type of produce. V'ozel ihu v'tarmi yofis. The person that he was appointed to be a shliach took off from the best produce that the owner had. Or bala bala bais a matzo, and now the owner came and found him. V'amale klach etzel yofis. You should have taken even better produce. So im nimtzu yofis mehem, if the owner indeed has better produce, so we see that this statement means that the owner was satisfied with what the shliach did, and therefore halach is truma say truma. From lav, but if he doesn't make this type of a statement, he's dissatisfied, and the halacha is that ain't truma so truma. Ask Tosfos. The halacha is, says Tosfos, that if somebody asks someone else to take truma on his behalf, and we know that midaraisa, the halacha is chita achas pateres sakri, one kernel is enough. Chazal gave different shiurim, a 40th for a generous person, a 50th for an average type person, and a 60th for not such a generous person. And now we have a situation where somebody asked me to take truma on his behalf, and I didn't identify this person who I took truma on his behalf properly, and I took the wrong amount, too much or too little. So the Gemara says that what I did since I was appointed as a shliach is satisfactory, because I'm a shliach. So ask Tosfos, why in our Gemara, where I was also appointed a shliach, but I took from the better produce, and the owner is not satisfied, what I did is not valid. Yet if I would have taken the wrong amount, I would have not thought properly what the owner, type of person he is, it is considered valid. Answers Tosfos. A 40th, a 50th, and 60th are all shiurim that Chazal established how truma should be taken. So if I followed one of those shiurim, even though I miscalculated what is the owner's thinking, I followed a shiur that has been established in the Torah, but established by Chazal at least. However, when somebody takes produce from better produce, that isn't something that Chazal identified, and therefore, if the owner is dissatisfied, my act turns out to be invalid. Says the Gemara, Ameir Mazutra of Ashi, Ikla Labustin the Maribar Esik. Ameir Mazutra of Ashi came to the orchard of Maribar Esik. Aisa Risa Tamar Ramani. And the sharecropper in this field brought dates and pomegranates. Vashadu Kamayu, and gave them to eat. Amemer Rav Ashi achli. Amemer Rav Ashi ate from those fruits. Mazutra lo yachol. Mazutra refused to eat. And as a machloikus rishonim, how to understand this Gemara, why Mazutra refused to eat. Some rishonim explain that Mazutra refused to eat because he was concerned that the oris was bringing produce not that belonged to him, but that belonged to the owner. And that the oris has no right to bring someone else's to serve them someone else's fruit. And as the Rishonim explained, even though we learned at the end of Masechta Baba Kama on Daf Kuf Yotes that an oris to bring, we can eat the fruit that the oris brings. That's when we know that the oris brings from fruits that were already detached. But if he brings from fruits that were attached, we have to be concerned that he's taking not from his own property, he's going to cheat his partner. Another approach in the Rishonim is that the concern here was that he was bringing Mari Ba'esik's fruit, and that Mari Ba'esik wasn't allowed, he had no permission to bring Mari Ba'esik's fruit without Mari Ba'esik's authorization. If so, why didn't Amemer Mazutra eat? Because they knew Mari Bar Esek, and they knew that he was an individual that gladly would want people, guests, to eat from his fruit. Ad hachi, asi Mari Bar Esek ashechino. While they were sitting there, Mari Bar Esek arrived, vamle la'arisa, and he said to his oris, amai la'aisa l'rabbanan manach shapirto, why don't you bring even better fruit for them? At this point, Amemer Ravashi said to Mazutra, Hashtus Amai Lochomar. Certainly now you should be comfortable in eating. Vatanya, because this is the same concept that we learned in the Braisa a moment ago. The Nimtza Yavshman Truma Truma. If the what the owner says indicates that he was satisfied with what the Shliach did, then it's certainly considered valid. Here, Mariba Asik's statement clearly indicates that he's satisfied with what the Oris brought the fruit. Amluhu. So Mazutra said, Hochamarava. Loy Amru Kalach Eitzel Yofis. When did Chazal say that if the owner made a statement of Kalach Eitzel Yofis, that's a proof that he's satisfied? Elin Truma Bavad. Where it's referring to Afrosh's Truma. Mishin the Mitzvahu. It's a mitzvah to take off Truma. For Nichalei. And the owner obviously is satisfied and showed his satisfaction with what the Shliach did. Aval Hocha. He's only saying it because he's embarrassed. And as the Rishonim explained, it's not just that he's saying that he's satisfied and because he's embarrassed about the fruit that was already brought out. What he's saying is even about the fruit that will be brought out. He's only saying so because we're all sitting here and eating and he doesn't feel any option but to say this. But not that he really was satisfied or wants that the fruit should be his fruit should be served. And in fact, based on this Gemara, the Chachmas Menoich says that in any situation where there's a reason to be concerned that the owner, that the person who is giving you a gift, really doesn't want to give you the gift, he just feels embarrassed, and that's why he's giving the gift, you should not take such a gift. I saw the Shaila is relevant to a number of areas in Halacha. I saw three different examples. One was, somebody was once asked to be a Sandik by a Bris, and he adamantly refused. And the people asked him, why are you refusing? It's a big kibbutz and it's a very important issue to be a Sandik. Why are you refusing? So he said, I saw that the person who asked me to be a Sandik only did so because he felt pressure to do so. And a gift or a kibbutz that's given under duress is not a gift that I want to take. Similarly, I saw a similar shaila where somebody once bought Master Yoina on Yom Kippur. And then his Rebbe came to shul for mincha unexpectedly, and the Talmud who had bought the Master Yoina wanted to give the aliyah of Master Yoina to his Rebbe, and the Rebbe refused. He said the person really didn't buy it on my behalf, he bought it on his own behalf. He just is giving it to me now because he feels embarrassed that he has to give it to me given that I'm his Rebbe. That's not the kind of gift, as our Gemara just taught us, one wants to take. Similarly, I saw the Paiskim say that if somebody writes a Sefer, he should be careful not to pressure people into buying the Sefer. Sometimes people will feel pressure to buy the Sefer or to participate where they don't really want to. Furthermore, an our Gemara becomes very obvious that you're not allowed to eat or partake of something without the owner's knowledge. However, there's a Rosh, which is quoted Lahalocha, that says there is a situation where somebody could use somebody else's item without their knowledge and consent. And that's by Dvar Mitzvah. Because we have a concept of Nichle Le'inish Le'me'evid Mitzvah Memoina. And therefore the Rosh says that if somebody comes to shul and he doesn't have talus or tefillin, and he needs to put on talus or tefillin, and in the chests, in the cabinets, in the shul, there are people who have their talus and tefillin, the halacha is that if the person who owns that talus and tefillin isn't there, that you could ask him permission, you're still allowed to use that person's talus and tefillin. We could assume that the owner would be satisfied, nichle le'inish le'mevet mitzvah minor. However, points out the Rosh, and the halacha is that way, you have to be careful to fold the talus and put it back the way he found it. Because otherwise, we don't have the assumption that the owner is agreeable. Points out the Magen Avraham, that on Shabbos, where there's a shaila, where there's a problem with one folding a talus, then you can use the talus, the other person's talus, even without his knowledge, even without refolding it. However, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that we can assume that one is always willing to have a mitzvah performed with his possessions, even if it will cost him some money or inconvenience. So therefore, if there is, but we can't always use that concept. So on Shabbos, even though I'm going to use your talis without folding it, since we assume that you'll even be agreeable to be inconvenienced somewhat, so that I should be able to fulfill a mitzvah. However, during the week, I have to fold it, because whenever it's possible to perform the mitzvah without inconveniencing the owner, there is no assumption that one would agree to be inconvenienced for his friend's mitzvah. The Bach also says that somebody can use somebody else's talis without permission only on an occasional basis, but not on a steady basis. Furthermore, says the Mashal, that he can only use the talis in the place where he finds it, but he can't take it somewhere to a different shul or to his house. He can't take it elsewhere. Continues the Gemara. As we have learned many times, the halach is that in order for food to become tame, it has to be first mukhshar lekabel tama. It has to become susceptible to becoming tame. The way food is mukhshar and becomes susceptible to kabbalas tama is by the food becoming wet with different, one of seven liquids: water, dew, milk, date honey, olive oil, wine, or blood. Says the Gemara. And the Gemara wants to quote this braisa again to prove a biased position regarding yiyush shaloi midas. Oideya tal aleihem. If dew fell on somebody's produce that was on the roof, the samach, and the owner of the produce was satisfied with the produce having become wet, hareza b'chiyitin. That water, that produce is considered susceptible to tumah. It has fulfilled what the Torah says, v'chiyuta mayim al zara, v'noflam and v'vlasim olav tamayu lechem. Nogvoy, but if the produce is already dry, apish esamach, even though the owner is satisfied with the fact that they became wet, ain't b'chiyutam. The food is not susceptible to tumah. Tamamai, what is the reason that once the produce has become dried, the owner's satisfaction is irrelevant? Since it's obvious that now he's satisfied, we have to say that he was satisfied while the produce was still wet. So we see that the owner's eventual satisfaction is not good enough. He has to be satisfied while the produce is wet. Similarly, the owner's eventual yiyush shaloi midas, where the yiyush eventually comes, should not be adequate. So that's by his opinion. So the Rishonim ask, how do we want to compare Rav's concept of yiyush to here, where it has to become wet? Yiyush, as I said earlier, means that he's going away. He's bimiyash from the item. Here we're talking about an action that it becomes wet. So again, the Rishonim say, since we're referring to a situation that the produce is on the roof, and produce on the roof is going to get wet from the towel, from the dew, so it's something that's eventually going to happen, and therefore it's considered similar to Yishua Midas. Answers the Gemara Shani Hosam. There the Torah says, Ki yitein ad shi yitein. The food doesn't become mukhshal kabal tumma unless the owner makes the food wet. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that the owner, that's why in the Sefer it's not mukhshal kabal tumma, because the owner didn't make the food wet. So let's understand the Reisha. The Reisha, he didn't make the food wet, he was just satisfied with the food being wet. Answers the Gemara, Hasam kud rapapa. The way to understand the first ruling of the Braisa is to understand what Rapapa said. Because Rapapa actually asked the following question. Ksiv kiyitein, in one pasuk it says kiyitein, that it seems to indicate that that's the That's the ksiv, that the owner actually has to put the liquid on the food in order that she becomes susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah. The kreen and kiyuta. On the other hand, it seems to say, as long as the food got wet, it's adequate. Haketzad. How do we reconcile the kri and the ksiv? Binin kiyutam, dunya kiyutam. We have to compare the two situations. Ma yitain ladas, just like when he did it, obviously he was satisfied, he put it on, and he was aware of it. Af kiyutan, so also when it wasn't he who put it on, it has to be wet, ladas, with the owner's knowledge. And if it was wet, if while it was wet, the owner wasn't aware of it, even though it eventually, he does eventually become aware of what happened, and he is satisfied with the fact that it was wet, still, since he wasn't aware of it, aware of this being wet, while it was wet, it's not susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah, because we have to have kiyutan similar to kiyutan. It's interesting to note, as I said, kiyutan is the ksiv, and kiyutan is the kri. And throughout the Gemara, many times, we have a machlokes of, do we go yesh em l'mesoiris or yesh em l'mikra? What takes precedence? The ksiv or the kri? And here, we're doing both. So Rishonim explain. Certainly, with the ksiv and the kri contradict each other, we have a machlokes. Yesh em l'mesoiris, yesh em l'mikra. What takes precedent? The ksiv or the kri? But in a situation where we can reconcile both the ksiv and the kri, certainly that's what we try to do. Toshma. So now the Gemara brings a raya, and actually a final raya, to Abaya's opinion. Toshma, Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Meshum Meshmo Ben Yitzadik. Menayin Lavedish Shot Fenor. How do we know that when a lost object was swept away by a flooding river, Shumateris, that whoever finds it may keep it? The ksiv, the kain tassel chamoroi, the kain tassel simlosoi, the kain tassel chol avedis achicha, ashetavim menu mitzosa. Misha vudi himena, in a situation where it was lost to the owner, umetsuya etzakol adam, but it's accessible to everybody else, that's when there's a din of ashavas aveda. Yotzazu, in a situation shavuda mimenu, vere mitsuya etzakol adam, that it's lost to everybody, such an item is hefker, and there's no requirement of a shavas aveda. Continues the brisa, the surah dumya de katera. The situation where the finder may not keep the item is similar to the situation where he may keep the item. Ma atera, in the situation that the finder may keep the item. It makes no difference if the item has a simon or doesn't have a simon. Shara, he's allowed to keep it if the owner was miyash. Afasura, the same thing, when must the finder return the item? Again, bein the ispa simon or bein the lespa simon, whether it has or doesn't have a simon, under all circumstances, Asura has to return it. What does this mean? So according to Abaye, we could understand the brisa very well. That even though the item that was lost has no simon, so if it has no simon, how do we expect the finder to return the item to the person who lost it? Still, since it was prior to Yush, we're learning now that if it happens prior to Yush, there is no chiyuv of Ashavas Aveda. Because even though the yush is eventually going to come, because it's an item without a simon, and if it's an item with a simon, without a simon, when the owner becomes aware that he lost it, he's going to be miyash. Yish lamidas doesn't have is not considered yush. But according to Rava, if it's an item without a simon, even if the owner is not aware currently that it's lost, shouldn't it be considered a situation of yush? Since Rava's opinion is that yish lamidas is yush. The Brisa, however, says that it's not considered Yiyush until the owner actually is aware that it's gone. It's Tiyufta, the Rava Tiyufta, is a refutation of the opinion of Rava. As I said, the Rajba and the Rishonim say that as soon as the item is lost to a flood, the item is considered Hefker, and even if the owner was not aware of the flood, or maybe he was aware of it, but he was hoping that he will still get it, the item still may be kept by the person who finds it. And as the Nesivus explains, he says there's a difference between the case of a regular Aveda, where, as we just explained, Yush of the owner is crucial for the finder to keep it, versus a situation like the one of a flood, where it's considered no longer the owner's item under all circumstances. As the Nesivus says, there's a practical difference, nafkamina. He says, in a case where it was not lost to a flood, if the owner finds the item, he won't have to do a new Maisa Kinyan to retain his ownership. Whereas when it was lost to a flood, it's considered no longer the owner's item, and for him to obtain ownership of this item again, he would have to do a new Maisa Kinyan. And says the Gemara, Hilchos HaKavaseid Abaya, Talocha is like Abaya, B'yal Kagam, in these cases, even though normally the halacha, when we have a machlokes of Abaya and Rava, we follow the opinion of Rava. In these cases, in these six cases, we follow the opinion of Abaya, and this is the first case of the Yud of being Yush Lemidas. Dayan refers to Edom Zomimin. At what point Edom Zomimin become possible? Lema is Lechi Oimid Ma'ilov. If a Lechi for an Erev was not specifically constructed, is that considered a valid Lechi? Kuf is Kedushin Shloim Nimsur Ubiya, are they considered a valid Kedushin? The Gimel is Gilui Dat Begetai, when is a husband able to disqualify a get? And Mem is Muma Oichon Veil Slahachas, when is he considered apostle aid? Amle V'acha B'rei Du Rava L'Ravashi, V'chimi Acha the Tois of Rava, if Nana Rava's opinion has been refuted. Hani Tami D'Zika, when the wind blows away dates, Hei Chachlin Lahu, how can we eat them? The owner isn't aware that those dates have been blown away, and therefore it's Yish Lemidas, and we're passing now that Yish Lemidas will have a Yish. So Rashi says that based on what we learned at the end of the previous year, this question is actually a question even according to Rava, because Rava said in a situation of Chazusa Mechichalov, in a situation where the owner is aware that these items are his, then Rava would also agree that prior to Yush, he may not eat him. So Rashi says the Gemara's question actually is on Rava too. But since we just finished saying that Halacha follows the opinion of Abaya, so Gemara preferred to ask the question on Abaya versus Rava. Tosfos, however, says that the Gemara's question is specifically on Abaya. Because Tosfos says we're referring to a situation where the dates flew far away. So according to Rava, since the dates flew far away, certainly the only one he will become aware that his dates flew away, he will be Miyash. And therefore this is a circumstance of Yish Lemidas. But according to Abaya, the Yish Lemidas, Loi have Yish. So now the question is, why is this considered a situation, why are we allowed to eat the dates? Amalei, so answers Rav Ashi, Kim the Ikish Shkotzim Ramashim, since we have Shkotzim and Ramashim here, the Ka'achlulahu that eat the fallen dates, Mikur Yush Miyash Nanu, certainly the owner is Miyash immediately, the owner is aware of the possibility that this is going to happen, and that's why we have immediate Yeush. Ask the Gemara, but what are we going to say by Yisoymim if the owner of these fruits of Yisoymim, the Lab of Neimichil and the Nu, that they're unable to be Meichel? My, what is the halacha? Yisoymim can't be Meichel. Omalei, Baga Ba'ar the Yasmi Loimach Sakinim. We don't have to be concerned that the property is owned by Yisoymim. And as the Mefarshim asks, even though we discussed this concept just the other day, by Isser we follow the Roiv. But Mammon ain't Holchanacha Roiv. So why do we say here that we're going to follow the Roiv and say Roiv aren't, Roiv properties are not owned by Yisoymim? Furthermore, asked the Mefarshim, this is the kind of situation that one can easily identify by himself. Do Yisoymim have property here or not? So some And the Farshim explain that here we're referring to a situation of a Sfek Sfeika. It's a suffix if this, where this prop, when we find this fruit, it's a question, where did this fruit come from? And furthermore, it's a question if the Yisaimim are the ones that own that fruit. And in a situation of Sfek Sfeika, we don't have to do any independent verification, and even by Mammon, we could follow Roiv. Others say, since there's nobody that's Muchzik in these fruits, again, by Mammon, we follow Roiv. The Gross says that even though we're saying now that Yisoymim don't have the ability to be Meichel, says the Gra, that's only in a situation where they're making a general Mechila. But if a Yosim is specifically Meichel, one specific individual, there the Mechila is considered a valid Mechila. Ask the Gemara, Muchzik V'Oymid Mai, what will be in a situation where we know that a Yosim owned these fruits? Or Karchus Mai, what will be the Halacha when they fell off a tree that are surrounded by wall? In a situation where it's surrounded by wall, the owner isn't miyash, because he doesn't assume that the fruit will fly away, or that the fruit will be infested by shkatz and ramashim. Amalei, so Rav Ashi said, in such a situation, the fruit doesn't become hefker, and indeed, such fruit that would be found would be a serum, they may not be eaten by the person who finds them.